The Impossible Journey, An Experience of a Lifetime by Nayeli Rico. Illustrated by Jose de Santiago Torices Montero. Genre: Narrative nonfiction often recounts a series of events. Look for a number of related events as you read. Question of the week: What drives people to explore harsh climates and dangerous places? Sahara in Arabic means desert. It is also the name of the largest desert on Earth. Its extension, extreme climate, uninhabited areas, dryness, and wilderness make it unique. However, there is much more to say about the Sahara Desert. Only the bravest and most trained explorers have been able to cross this sea of sand under the blazing sun. Some of them have done it by camel and on foot, and some others by car or motor vehicle. Whatever the means of transport, this expedition challenges not only the body, but the mind and soul too. The English historian, ecologist, and desert explorer Michael Asher and the Italian photographer Mariantonietta Peru were the first explorers to traverse the vast lands of the Sahara from west to east on foot and by camel. After working together for the UNICEF office in Africa, they got married in 1986, 5 days before their departure. The couple shared the interest and fascination for the Arab world and the desert. It was their destiny to be the first ones to cross the Sahara. Mariantonietta and Michael were no newcomers to Africa. They both studied and learned Arabic, as well as some of its dialects, because they lived with the nomads in different areas of the Sahara. In 1982, Michael went to live with the Kababish tribe, which is in Sudan, for 3 years. The Kababish is a tribe of camel herders that knows everything about the desert, its secrets and its dangers. Michael would go with the nomad migrations and salt caravans, working as a camel herder. During that time, he became an expert camel herder, and he even bought a camel. Their adventure started at Nouakchott, Mauritania, and ended in Abu Simbel, Egypt. Yet, it was not easy for Mariantonietta and Michael to decide which part of the vast desert to cross. The Sahara is located in northern Africa and extends from the Atlantic Ocean to the Red Sea. It's 3.6 million square miles long and has a population not bigger than 2 million inhabitants. Egypt, Algeria, Mauritania, Tunisia, Mali, Niger, Chad, Morocco, and Sudan are countries all settled in the Sahara. Even though both explorers had been in most of those countries, tracing the route was quite a challenge. After having analyzed many routes, they finally decided to make the crossing from Mauritania in the Atlantic to the Nile Valley in Egypt. The Sahara being one of the most difficult places on Earth to explore, the couple didn't want to be forced to give up the challenge due to a lack of careful planning. Therefore, once the route was traced, they prepared everything for the trip. They verified their provisions, such as appropriate clothing, a compass, maps, food, tools, cameras, journals to register their expedition, and 3 camels. At Mauritania, the couple spent 3 months training their camels and learning the Hassaniya dialect of Arabic. They lived in a traditional 2-room Moorish house in Chinguetti Oasis. Although both had traveled by camel before, while they lived with nomad tribes, this was a different trip. Camels were one of the most important elements during the journey. Without them, they would have been forced to quit or even die. Training a camel has to be done with friendly and gentle hands, and takes time. Throughout history, camels have been the symbol of the desert. It is the only animal capable of transporting people and provisions that can survive in such extreme conditions. Camels store fat in their humps and burn it for energy when they are unable to find food. They can carry up to 450 kilograms and walk 160 kilometers per day at a speed of 16 kilometers per hour. They are indeed amazing animals and essential to move across the desert. In August 1986, Michael and Maria Antonietta started what was named the Impossible Journey. After 271 days, in May 1987, they arrived at Abu Simbel. They departed with three camels, one for Michael and one for Maria Antonietta, and another one to carry their provisions. They took with them turbans and jalabia, loose hooded cloaks worn by Arab men, prickly pear cactus, saguaro cactus, chia sage, and agave were also part of their supplies. During the journey, there were good days, but many rough ones too. It didn't take long for the couple to start struggling with the weather. Sahara's dryness and high temperatures were burdensome to handle. Some days, they felt the Sahara was as hot as hell during the day. Often, the intense sun sparked futile arguments among them. Such was the effect of the challenging weather on them that they didn't speak at all for days. Drinking and feeding properly were necessary to keep the body and mind in conditions to continue the expedition. There was a point when they almost died of thirst. Being such experienced desert explorers, Michael and Antonietta knew how to ration their water supply. They used 8 liters of water per day for cooking and drinking. They learned from the nomads that in the desert, people sweat substantially as a result of heat and dryness. Sweating isn't just about losing plain water. Salt is also lost in the process. Therefore, drinking just fresh water will drop the body's condition critically. Balanced salt reserves are crucial in keeping the body and the mind functioning properly. The couple had a fixed schedule for breakfast and lunch. Much of the food they had to eat was not fresh, since they spent weeks without visiting villages. They couldn't carry fresh foods because they didn't have insulated containers to store them in. They also calculated the number of kilometers they rode per day. When the climate was not so harsh, they used to walk short distances and enjoy the landscape. Asher wrote in his journal, "We were also interested in the environment and desertification. It is a beautiful nothing, not a rock, not a stick, not a stone." Whenever the landscape was breathtaking, Maria Antonietta used to click a picture. She loved how the sand created figures. She often wondered how different one place could be from another, even though it was all covered by sand. There are different climates in the Sahara Desert. Its extension is vast, and it is half up the equator and half down the equator. The north region of the desert has a dry, subtropical climate, which is very cold in the winter season, and it has hot summers and 2 rainy seasons. The average temperature in this region is 38 degrees Celsius during the day, and it drops down to 4 degrees Celsius at nightfall. It can get as hot as 55 degrees Celsius at some points during the day. The southern region of the Sahara has a dry tropical climate. In this region, the temperatures oscillate between 30 degrees Celsius and 32 degrees Celsius. But the Sahara has not always been a dry place. Approximately 6,000 years ago, there were some green areas with rainfalls, grasslands, and lakes. These conditions allowed humans to live there, especially in what is now Egypt. Scientists claim that the climate in the Sahara Desert is still changing, so maybe in the future, more people and more species will live here. Michael and Maria Antonietta spent most of their time learning about wildlife in the Sahara. Many people think there is nothing but sand in the desert, but that couldn't be farther from the truth. The desert is a box full of surprises. The landscape includes not only the iconic sand dune fields, but also arid mountains, plateaus, shallow basins, and large oasis depressions. The variety of wildlife is extensive with camels, antelopes, jackals, jerboas, fennec foxes, snakes, scarab beetles, and death stalker scorpions at the top of the list. the world's most lethal animals camouflage in the sand. There are myriads of insects in the desert. The couple was fascinated by the desert and its many phases. The nights in the desert are extremely beautiful. You can see hundreds of sparkling stars shining like diamonds and relish the peacefulness and silence of the place. It is solitary, but as calm as a mirror. They say that the Sahara is undoubtedly a mesmerizing place, but it is also hazardous. One of the biggest problems they faced was the feeling of loneliness due to the isolation they faced throughout the journey. The harsh climate was also difficult to bear with. However, they were always there to support each other. They not only saw animals, but also some plants. The vegetation that grows in this place must be able to adapt to unreliable precipitations and extreme heat. The plants in the desert are usually covered with spines to prevent excessive loss of water and deep roots to get to a water source. Michael and Marie Antonietta were familiar with some of the plants in the desert because of their past experiences living in nomadic areas. However, in this expedition, they were able to see a different variety of plants that they had never seen before. They saw a herb called thyme, which is a major food source for animals in the desert, and also tamarisks, which is a plant that grows up to 18 meters. The tamarisk plant is used for firewood, and it also provides shade. When they were reaching the Nile Valley, they were able to see olive trees, which grow in extremely hot climates. Their small leaves have a protective coating that slows water loss. After spending some months in the Sahara, Michael and Marie Antonietta were about to reach their final destination. They were amazed about how much they had achieved. And even though more than once they felt lost and walking in circumference, they managed to continue and to conquer their fears. Michael was eager to reach the final destination, Egypt. The Egyptian civilization lasted approximately 3,000 years. They located their empire and built the famous pyramid of Khufu at Giza, which is the largest Egyptian pyramid near the Nile River. In past decades, many anthropologists have visited the area finding paintings, vases, tombs, and sculptures. In spite of being such an interesting place, no one had ever achieved crossing the Sahara Desert and Egypt by camel and on foot like they were about to do so. This journey was undoubtedly a lifetime experience. Their whole existence had changed for good. Marie Antonietta had taken so many good pictures that she couldn't decide which ones were the best. Through these images, whether portraits or landscapes, I express my feelings for people and nature. I believe that our experience with wilderness is of crucial importance in our lives today, as we have become so industrialized that we have lost our connection with nature, she once said. Undoubtedly, having crossed 7,500 kilometers without technology and digital navigation systems of any kind changed their lives forever. After living so many years with the nomads, Michael thinks that humans should interfere with nature only for essential needs. His mastery got him the Ness Award in 1994 for his work on desert exploration and work with camels. In 2016, he was awarded the Lawrence of Arabia Medal for his outstanding merit in the fields of exploration. And Marie Antonietta is considered the only woman ever known to have crossed the Sahara by camel and on foot. Nowadays, Michael and Marie Antonietta are based in Nairobi. They still enjoy expeditions and wildlife. Both of them are still active and continue their work in the humanitarian and ecological fields. Encouraging the new generations to explore is vital for our society, they say. Whenever Michael and Marie Antonietta are asked if they see themselves as anthropologists, they reply that they see themselves just as curious people who have the braveness and discipline to explore this world.